And we're going to start in John chapter 4. We're right near there this morning. I started talking a little bit about truth in a Sunday school lesson when I was talking about women in the church and men in the church and their roles and things. And I started talking about truth and emotion. And I said, truth is not emotional. And we are programmed to be emotion-based creatures in America. We are a very emotional society. And we decide everything by our heart and by how we feel. But the Bible says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. We're not supposed to be based by emotions. Emotions are too fluctuating. They're not based on tangible, real, truthful things. And I begin to really think about that, how that with the feminization of a nation, and by the way, I think an over-masculination of the nation is bad too. When a nation becomes too masculine, you get the Wild West, where people are hanging everywhere, and everything's set up with a gun, and everything's kind of dirty and messed up and violent, and a feminine side adds something, but the masculine side adds something. And the masculine side of the human race tends to add sort of a, trying to think of the term I'm looking for, excuse me, sort of a facts, logic side, which you need emotions. Emotions are important. They're part of our being. And they add that. Women add the emotion and the feelings, the feminine side. Excuse me. All right. And truth is very important. John 4. Excuse me, I'll get it. In verse 21. Ready. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, thank you. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know when Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I want to talk about keep true to the truth. Keep true to the truth. Let's pray. Father, your word's wonderful and perfect. Thy word is truth. We'll read that verse twice tonight, probably, Father, and in John 17. And Lord, tonight we want to speak about truth and understand truth in a changing and chaotic world. In a world of justification, in a world of rationalization, Lord, I pray that we'd see on Christ the solid rock we stand. All the ground is sinking sand. I pray that today we would just settle into understanding the truth and submit to your truth and submit to your way. Please, Lord, help us understand. Help us to have good biblical, logical thoughts and see your way and your thinking, Father, and speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, first of all, he says, worshipers must be true worshipers. There comes a day when you got to have true worshipers. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, God wants true worshipers. There's false worshipers. False worshipers could be someone who worship bad doctrine. They could be someone who worships in hypocrisy. God wants true worshipers. So there he says, first of all, I want true worshipers. And then he goes to the next part, and he says God seeks such to worship him. He's looking for somebody who's a true worshiper to worship him. And so that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a true worshiper. And when God's looking for something, don't you want to be that answer to God's search? Where God says, there you are, I found one, a true worshiper that worships God. And God's seeking such, and I want to please him. I want him to find that. God seeks the true worshipers. But there's qualifications, verse 23. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. It says these true worshippers will worship him in two ways, in spirit. That's in the spiritual realm. That's with their spirits, not just the flesh. The flesh is part of worshiping God. You give your life to him and your physical body, but he wants your heart, and he also wants your spirit. And I will sing with the spirit, the Bible says, and everything you have and what's inside of you. He says he wants you to worship him in spirit. The Pharisees worshiped him in actions outwardly, but they didn't have, their heart was far from God. But he said he wants us in spirit and in truth. And in truth, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is important. And the first point is truth is necessary. Truth is necessary. It's a must. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. The lowest thing, one of the lowest things on a Christian looking for a church today is doctrine. Or looking for a lot of other things. They will ask about the music program. They'll ask about what they have for the kids. They'll ask about the nursery. They'll ask about the building. They'll ask about the service times and many things. But lo and list, in 15 years of being a pastor here, I've been asked three times before somebody came to our church what we believe. People just don't ask. It's not that important. If they like the program, they'll keep coming even if the doctrine's not that good. But God says you must worship him in truth. Bible says, take heed to the doctrine. The Bible says, with reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine, the teaching of the scripture. It's vital that you have the right truth and the right doctrine. Truth is important. You must worship him in truth. You must worship him in truth. If you come to him wrongly and come to him in the wrong doctrine, you might even come to the wrong person. You might even come to the wrong person. Let's say I go out Robbie, come on up here. I'm going to use Robbie for an illustration. Have you ever thought you're talking to somebody and it was the wrong person and you're really embarrassed? And I come up to Robbie and I believe I'm talking to a guy that comes to our church. But Robbie's never come to our church. And I'm talking to a guy who has a wife and four kids. And I walk up and say, hey, Robbie, how's the kids going? And it gets real awkward. And I say, you know, I missed you at church this last Sunday. He didn't know who I am. Now, I might be sincerely thinking he is who I think he is. But if he's not, and I'm in error, it doesn't matter how normal I think I am, how right I think I am. I'm in error, and I'm coming to the wrong person. Okay, you follow? Where's the $50 you owe me? And, okay, be seated. So hey, I really got the wrong guy. And so I come to him, and so people might even come to the wrong God. There's a lot of people, a lot of cults. Boy, it looks very close to Christianity. The Jesus of Mormonism, say, looks pretty close. Matter of fact, they'll say, Jesus is my Savior. Till you find out that Jesus was Satan's brother. And he became a god because he was so good. And you find out it's a different Jesus. See, truth is a must. You must have the right doctrine. You must have the right truth. You must have the right Bible. You must have the right book to come to. You must have the right God. Sincerity doesn't make it right. You must come in truth. And if you come wrong, you might come to the wrong person. Matter of fact, if you come wrongly with wrong doctrine without the right truth, you're changing the very who the person is. You're changing who God is. Because the Bible defines, God defines himself as truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Well, I just believe this, and it's fine whatever you believe with your heart. No, he's a person, truth is. And Jesus is the truth. And if you get it wrong, you get the wrong Jesus. He's the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth in John 14. In John 16, he's a Spirit of Truth. Truth is important, and truth matters. It is very precious, truth is. Let me take you to Proverbs. Just let me read you a verse. You can turn there if you like, but it's Proverbs 23, or you can listen along. Proverbs 23. And verse 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. The symbolism here is find the truth, be desperate for it, seek for it, buy it, put the effort into it. It's valuable. And do not sell it. You must have truth. It's very valuable. Let's say I get to a country that I'm flying to, whatever country I'm flying to. I'm gonna land in in Ecuador. And I land in Ecuador, I get to the airport, and a guy walks up to me and he says, you know what, you do not leave the airport, you will die. There's crazy things going on in this country. Another guy walks up to me and says, you know what, this country's fine, he's just lying. You can go out of the airport, you'll be just fine. I need truth. Truth is very valuable. Well, whatever you believe in your heart, okay. So I believe the guy tells me it's going to be fine, and it's not fine. Outside, there's a revolt, and they're killing people. And I stand out in the crowd, and I get killed. See, truth matters. Right and wrong matters. You can go sincerely and think you're getting a good deal, and some guy who's a shyster rips you off, and he didn't tell you the truth, but you thought it was the truth, but it wasn't the truth. And you're thinking the truth didn't make it the truth, and you lost your money. See, truth matters, and doctrinal truth matters, and what is right and what is wrong. And so the smallness and the pride of a human and us as Americans, we have a great arrogance that whatever I think must be the truth because I am so right. But I want to say this. I was dead wrong and can be dead wrong. And I need something to tell me the truth. I need truth because truth matters. Truth matters. People who sit here and say everything's arbitrary, it's what you believe in your heart, it's not, if you're real to you, it's good. They don't believe about the stock market. I just believe my stock's going up. Doesn't mean it's going up just because you believe it. You cannot believe in gravity and you jump off a building, you'll find out gravity is real whether you believe it or not. You will find if you go, there are many things that we think, but they're not true because truth is absolute and truth doesn't change. And that's why we need to not say, I believe this, so this is truth and I'm going this way, but say, this is truth right here, so I need to go this way because truth is right. We've got to have truth, and truth isn't what we feel or what our experience is or anything else. And so I would need to find out which one of these ones is telling me the truth. The guy who says everything's fine or the guy who says that I better not leave the airport, I better get back in a plane and go back. I have to find truth. The same thing with eternity, the same thing with life, the same thing with marriage, the same thing with children. Life, we must find the truth. And truth is not buy the truth and sell it not anymore. Truth is low on the list of priorities. It's what makes you feel good. It's what your emotions say. It's what everybody's doing that's high in the priorities. But truth is still right, whether anybody believes it or not. Number two, the truth is true despite our relationship with it. The truth is true despite our relationship with it. Let's go to Romans. I got a little bit ahead of myself here, but Romans chapter 4. Sorry, Romans 3. The truth is true no matter what a relationship with it is. Verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, if somebody doesn't believe, does that mean it's not true? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. That as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. How many of you at some point in your life you thought you got to heaven by your good deeds? Raise your hand. How many thought that at some point in your life you got to heaven because you're a good person and it wasn't by faith in Christ? Raise your hand up. Okay. I did. This is a trick question. If you thought you were going to be good enough to get to heaven is by your good deeds, then that's you were wrong and I was wrong. And you know what? I thought, well, you live a good enough life and you'll get to heaven. I didn't. I was just wrong. Then I found out you don't get to heaven by being good. You get to heaven by Jesus Christ dying for your sins and trusting him as Savior. And you believe in the name of the Son of God, you know you have eternal life. And I met truth and truth said this, Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, not me being a good person. I could have done one thing. I could have said, no, I just believe it's me and my good deeds. And I would have continued on my path and not lined up with the truth. And I would have died and I could have said to God, but I believe this. And God said, and? I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It doesn't matter what you feel. Truth is truth. Truth is right. Truth is the way things are. If I don't agree with gravity, it doesn't matter if I don't agree with gravity. It still works. It doesn't matter what I believe in. I can believe I'm safe, and I can believe that I'm indestructible. It doesn't matter what I believe. Truth is true whether you believe it or what your relationship with is or what you feel it is or anything else. It doesn't matter. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 13:8. It says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Great verse, 2 Corinthians 13:8. In other words, it says you can't change the truth, you can't undo the truth, you can't stop the truth. The truth is what truth is, but you can do things for it. How can I do things for the truth? How about if I take that truth to somebody? That's doing something for the truth. How about if I teach people the truth? How about if I live the truth? How about if I apply what's right and what's true and what's real and watch it work in my life or in my family's life or in someone I love's life? Because I can do things for the truth by propagating it and using it because it's right. The truth is the truth and it works. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Say, "I don't believe in Jesus, so I'm just free from everything." No, you're not. You know, if you're an atheist, when you die, it doesn't matter how much you convince yourself, you'll believe, because it's true. The Bible says, "For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, I just don't believe that. So what? So what? There's two teams playing in the Super Bowl tonight. Both of them believe they're going to win. Only one of them is going to win if they ever finish the second half. Only one of them is going to win. Doesn't matter what they believe. They believe they're going to win going in. Doesn't matter. There's truth. And truth is true whether you believe it or not. Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. I choose to bow to him right now, willingly get on my knees and say, "You are the Lord." But not everybody does that. But the Bible says they are all going to. Whether they want to or not, whether they believe or not, it won't matter. Every knee shall bow. That's the truth. And so you decide, I'm going to line up with the truth. It's true. No matter what my relationship with it is, it's still true. Psalm 119, verse 85, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Next, number one, we said truth is necessary. Number two, truth is true despite our relationship with it. Number three, truth has a great impact on us. John 17, 9, let me take you there to John. The truth has a big impact on you. John 17 and 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It sanctifies you. John 8, 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Can I say this? When you line yourself up with whatever is true, with whatever is true, okay? When you line yourself up with it, you now get set free. Because you just hopped in the train that's going there. And some people think this train's going to run, but it's dead. It's not going anywhere. And somebody thinks this car is going to run, but it doesn't run. And the starter doesn't work. And the battery's not in there. And it's not going to run. The truth is, this train is the way to get there. And when you get in the train, you're set free. Because the truth is going to tell you what's right and what's going to bless and what's going to work. And so you get set free because you align yourself with the truth. So what you do, like I've had to do many times, is say, "I'm wrong. This is the truth." And I had to do that when I first became a Christian by saying, "I can't save myself. Jesus is the way to heaven." And I've had to do that many times in my life and just say, "You know what? I'm wrong. I thought I was right." And you can be wrong in the truth because you think you're smart. You can be wrong in the truth because somebody taught you wrong. You can be wrong about the truth because it's what you grew up in your society. But the truth doesn't change because of your relationship with it. If you went to a country like Afghanistan, you'd find out that they think it's true that you can beat up women and mutilate girls and abuse them and it's just fine, and they don't think anything of it. Are they just intelligent? They have just as much of a brain as us? Yes. Are they right? No, it's still wrong. And a whole bunch of Germans thought it was okay to throw Jews into ovens. And that was the truth. And they thought that was the truth. The Jews is the final solution. And they threw them, 6 million of them, into the ovens. And was that the final solution? Did they bring in a reign, the Third Reich, and a thousand-year reign of Aryan people ruling like they thought it would? No, they were wrong, but they thought many of them were right. And so your relationship with the truth doesn't determine whether something's right or wrong. Something is right. Something is right. And that, and God's word says what's right in the spiritual realm, and things are right. And so it has a great impact on it because it affects what you do. It sets you free. It changes your life. It impacts your actions. If I believe it's true that souls live eternally somewhere, it's going to impact me to go witnessing. If I believe that my children are a gift from God and I believe that they're precious souls, I'm going to treat them with kindness and love. What you believe impacts what you do, so you must find the right truth because it impacts what you do. Number four, and this is the most important thing we'll say and want to focus on, truth should change us, not us pretend to change the truth. Amen. Truth should change us, not us pretend to change the truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I just have my own reality. I just have my own beliefs. I just have my own way. That's fine. Doesn't mean it's true. Oh, it's right. I know it in my heart. You better be right. And what do you base that on? On what you thought. And always people all over the world think something. But luckily, we've got something more wonderful. The God of the universe, who is truth, wrote us a book. Romans 1:18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Notice this, they have the truth, but they're holding it in unrighteousness. I'm going to talk more about that. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." When your heart becomes dark, you can't see the right truth. And the Bible says they're blind, and they don't know what they stumble at. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections." Homosexuality in this particular case. So we see there's this, they hold the truth, then they turn the truth into a lie. So watch how our wills try to change what the truth is. So here's a person, and he's in a poor country, and they don't have building codes. This country has major earthquakes. He says, "I want to, you know what? I don't have much money. And you know what? This building will be just fine that I'm thinking of building. It'll be just fine." And so he goes out and he designs his building. It's not going to cost very much. And it's got a 4-inch wide concrete walls with no reinforcement, no rebar in them. And he builds that building 2 stories tall. And he says, "You know what? I just think it'll be just fine. I think all these building codes don't matter. I think that rebar is overrated. I think this will be just fine." And you know, and he convinced himself of that because he doesn't have the money to build it right. So he tells himself, "This is going to be just fine." Do you notice how you change the truth because you want it to be something? And the earthquake comes, and does the earthquake say, "You know what? I am not going to affect that house"? Because in his heart, he truly believes that house is solid. And so it's amazing. Every other building around him crumbled because he sat there and believed that it would be just fine. His building just stood there all by itself. Is that what happens? No. His belief that he chose to believe became his own destruction. Because he believed and he changed what he believed. So, we had a lady before come to our church. And she came to our church, started growing, loved it. Her children got saved. Her children started becoming better. And she started learning the Bible, and she just raved about what we had. And one day I got up here, and I preached on sexual immorality. And she came in to talk with me. And she says, "Well, I'm really struggling with this. I got a boyfriend, and you know, right now we're not living together. But, you know, what should I do?" And I said, "Well, first of all, you guys don't touch each other, and you stay pure and holy as God told you to do it. And if he doesn't want to wait for you, then he doesn't love you enough. He just loves your body. And stay right. And we talked about it, and you know, maybe someday you can get married. Maybe someday he'll be a godly man, and you can have a good Christian relationship, and everything will be good. She, by the way, already had kids from other men. No daddies around. No problem. We're ready to help. We're ready to see a life change. But the guy came back. And, well, she had a talking with him about, I'm going to church now, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and things are going good, and this and that. But he wanted to move in, and he had no other place to live. And she talked herself into it. And she talked herself that it was okay. And guess what? She also told herself, because now he had a conflict. You had a pastor in a church and a Bible that say, this is sin. But now she feels wanted. And she has her guy who likes her there. And guess what? All of a sudden, Open Door wasn't a great church anymore. All of a sudden, she tells me, you know, we're looking for a different kind of church now. I would too. If I was going to do what I wanted to do, I would find the church that did, said exactly what I wanted to hear. But that's not this church. Matter of fact, this church doesn't say what I want to hear. Sometimes I'm preaching on me. Amen. I try to miss those Sundays. I don't know, it doesn't work somehow. I'm trying to figure this out. And but you know what? The Bible says what it says. And it, all of a sudden, you say, this church preaches holiness. This church preaches loving your enemy. And I don't want to do that. And you run off and you find a church. The Bible says in the end times, they won't want sound doctrine. And they'll find themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll scratch ears and tell them what they want to hear. And you go find a preacher who says what you want to hear, which ain't this church. And you feel good and you feel happy. And boy, you taught them. And look at this. This preacher agrees with me. And I like it. And I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Guess what? The truth didn't change in that process. You feel good, and then you die, and you stand in front of a holy God who says, how dare you? And you fall on your face ashamed and in big trouble. You lost rewards, you lost influence, probably lost your family. But they changed the truth into a lie in their own experience, but they didn't change the truth. They just changed what they wanted to. And so people will go, and by the way, the number one thing to look for in a church is doctrine. What do they believe? It is not, do they do everything just like you? Do they have your favorite kind of music? Is the pastor charismatic? It's none of those things. It's not, are there people like me there? Doesn't matter. You're looking for right doctrine, first of all. Do they preach the word of God? Do they do what the Bible says? Do they fulfill the word of God? The doctrine is what matters because truth matters. And if you try to change the truth to fit what you want to have happen, and if I do the same thing, it doesn't matter. And if I decide I don't want to preach this anymore, I'm sick of the conflict, I'm going to preach what I want to preach, I'm going to say on this subject, I do that, I'm in trouble because the truth didn't change. And if society all changes and if Christianity all changes, the truth does not change. Amen. The truth is still the truth. The Bible is still right. And right now, we're starting to see it where real Bible Christians who really stick to the book and really live it and preach real New Testament Christianity and love for God with all your heart and losing your life and loving the Lord more than anything and having a holy, godly family and having a and reaching the world and New Testament Book of Acts, loving the Lord and loving your neighbor as yourself, real Christianity. It's not the world ostracizing us anymore, it's the churches. And we're not talking weird doctrines. We're talking basic Bible doctrines. Why? But you know what? What if Open Door Baptist Church becomes the last church preaching the Bible? And what if ever the church does that, the truth hasn't changed, we'll be just fine. If they put us in jail, they lock us up. What does it matter? The truth is still the truth. And the martyrs stuck with that, and they always had that. The truth doesn't change, and it's never any different. Let me take you to a verse that shows people doing this. 2 Peter. So our job is to find the truth. Second Peter. In chapter 3. In verse 16. As also, this is an important verse. As also in all his epistles, speaking of to them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That word rest is the key word here. As they do to other scriptures under their own destruction. The word rest, it's a word that means pliable and twisting. It literally means you take the scriptures and you twist them to your own destruction. You made the scripture say what you wanted it to say, and you feel okay about it now. But it's to your own destruction. Notice those people are unstable. Notice that about them. Because I want to say this. Right people let their theology dictate their morality. Wrong people let their morality dictate their theology. I want this to be true. So this is, I'm going to try to find it in the scriptures. And this can't mean this, and this must have been this, and this could have been this, and this must mean this. That's why you have churches ordaining active homosexual couples into the ministry. Why? Because society's kept pounding them and pounding them and pounding them and pounding them. And they even say, the Bible says that it's okay. You can't read your Bible and get that, or Old or New Testament, unless you twist the scriptures. I've listened to them, I laugh at them. That's not what that verse means. You got a lot of clear teaching here. But everybody's doing it, so it doesn't matter. Homosexuality will be an abomination and a sin until the end of time. Because the Bible says it. And so will sex outside marriage. And so will stealing. And so will murder. And so will lying. God, what if everybody's lying? They're lying. Because the truth didn't change. What if everybody's sleeping around? They've been doing it. It's still wrong. Because the truth is the truth, and that you can twist it to your own destruction. You can try to make the scripture say what you want it to say. But when I started this church, one of the things I decided in the first point of everything I believe is the Bible is God's word, and God knows what's right, and he has a spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into all truth. And I separated myself, and for a year, as we started this church, I said, God, show me what's right. I'm going to study the scriptures again, study every doctrine again. If I'm wrong, show me. I want to know I'm wrong. I'll change whatever I have to do. If a Mormon's right, I'll be that. If a Jehovah's Witness is right, I'll be that. Whatever the scripture says, I'm going to follow it. And said, whatever it says, I'm willing to follow the scripture. Because truth is important. And when I'm wrong, and I have been wrong, and the scripture says this, I'm not going to say, I'm not comfortable with that. It must be this. It must mean this. Because I don't want it to mean that. I wouldn't say I want this so bad that you're going to change it to your own destruction. And so you've got to find out. We should let the truth change us. We don't believe what we believe by feeling. It's not by experience. It's not by what you are doing. It's not because that's what your family's always done. It's not because that's what people of your ethnicity do. It's not because that's what your friends all do. It's not because that's what your church you grew up in. It doesn't matter. It can be wrong. You must find what the Bible says, because that's the truth and it's not going to change, and say, I'm aligning myself with the Bible, and I'm going to do things the Bible way, and I'm going to follow the Bible, even if I'm not comfortable, even if it says I'm wrong, and now everybody's going to know I'm wrong. Because the truth, you twist it to your own destruction. It's still true. And you still believe that. They said the Titanic was unsinkable. And a first maiden voyage. Because the truth is, it wasn't unsinkable. Doesn't matter what they believed. It doesn't matter. Our tendency is to change what we believe when we begin to accept what's wrong in our lives. I want you to understand that. If the flesh and you lose the ability to get a hold of yourself and control yourself and die to yourself and submit to God, What happens is you're doing something and we are so proud and want to feel good so much about ourselves that once you accept sin in your life, and this is the most common thing as every church now loses members, it just a constant trickle out. But the most common thing we've ever lost people over is very simply, not because they suddenly thought I was a terrible guy, not because all of a sudden they thought we were a terrible church. It's very simple. They accepted something in their life that was sin, and then they began to not want to feel bad. And so they had to say, you know what? I got to move on, because they felt conviction here. And if that's the case, so be it. Because we're not going to cut her. And that's not, by the way, not everybody who left because of that. But that is the most common thing, is once you accept wrong in your life and give place to the devil, as the Bible says, what you will do is you will not want to continually feel like you're wrong. And once you, by the way, it's way different. Let's say you got this sin and you can't stop smoking. Okay? Or you got this sin and you can't quit losing your temper. Or whatever. And all of a sudden, you say, I've got this sin, and it's a sin for me. I can't stop doing this. And I can't quit whatever the particular sin is. You say, I can't stop it. Let's say somebody abuses their children. And they're nasty to their children. And boy, they just say, you know what? I just can't stop it. I'm just going to keep on doing it. Now you've given place to the devil. If you would say, oh God, I can't stop this. This is wrong. And if you would not accept it and give it a place, though you might not conquer it yet, at least you're repentant. At least you're not accepting it. Because once you accept that, you mutate your life around it. It's like a tree growing around a building. You kind of mutate around it. And pretty soon, because you are bent and stuck and formed around something you accepted in your life, you now will begin to change your doctrine so you'll feel like your bent is okay. Because you do it. And then you will begin to seek people and truth and churches who will make you feel okay. Because you know it's wrong and it's under conviction, but you're seeking relief to say, my bent is okay. And when these people hold the truth and righteousness, then they change the truth of God into a lie. Because you begin to change truth because you want to feel good, because you've accepted wrong and you know it's wrong and it's God's word, but you want to feel good about yourself. So you'll surround yourself and you'll find a church, you'll find people, and you'll marry somebody who all says what you do is okay. And you know what those people do more than anything else when they change the truth? Is they argue with you. And they try to convince you. How you doing today? You know, there's nothing really wrong with smoking. What do you think of the weather? Smoking is not wrong. Okay. That's nice. How are the kids? Well, they're fine as long as you quit condemning me for smoking. What are you talking about? Because they want to argue. Why? Not to convince you, to convince themselves. And they just and when they really get to the end, when they really are doing wrong, then they find, and when they're really spiritual, you know what they do? They add the word on. They add God onto the end. God's told me this is okay. Boy, God's really confused. He says in a word one thing, says in to you another. You're just very special to God. Why? Because we hold the truth in our righteousness. And then the saddest thing that ever happens. And boy, I've watched people do this. I've never, you know what? I'm a bad guy. I've done so many things wrong. But you know what I've never done? I've never demonized the messenger because I want to do wrong. Can I tell you? If your mom and dad say this is wrong and your mom and dad are good people last week, and all of a sudden your mom and dad are terrible people this week, there's something wrong with you. Because you demonize them, because if they're bad, your truth must be right. Oh, don't change the truth to fit your lie. Just say, I'm a bum. I messed up. I sinned. I'm doing this. This is wrong. Instead of trying to make yourself feel good and change, because the truth did not change. You just try to convince yourself. You just try to convince yourself. And you used to think it's bad to watch a certain movie, and now you've justified it. Now you watch all kinds of things. And you used to think certain words are bad, or you used to think that not going soul winning was bad, or you used to think that not praying was bad, but now you've justified it with your schedule or whatever, and you said, it's okay. It's okay for me. It's okay for me. You change the truth if it's your lie. But the truth didn't change. And you'll talk yourself into divorce, and you'll talk yourself into all kinds of things. Why? The truth did not change, but you want to feel okay. Do not let your morality dictate your theology. Let your theology, let the word of God dictate your morality. And if you hold the truth in a righteousness, do not begin to try to change the truth, because it didn't change. Why does someone think that my relative didn't go to heaven? So, you know, maybe don't have to be saved. Careful. Careful. Somebody comes to me. Oh, this happens so many times. Fifi dies, their dog. And I know what they're going to ask me before they get to me. Pastor, do dogs go to heaven? Do cats go to heaven? I lie to them. I say, of course they do. No, I don't. I'm not going to lie to them. There's horses in heaven. We know that. They ride back on horses. The little dogs, chihuahuas, poodles, those things all go somewhere else. They go to heaven. Cats. Man, cats. You can't be cats in heaven. There's no selfishness in heaven. Golfers, mosquitoes. Think those things go to heaven? But, you know, we so often want to believe something. Boy, does the Bible say anything about dogs and going to heaven and try to find some scripture? But, and I'm joking about that. But, you know, we understand the truth. Don't try to find some new thing to fit what you want to be true. Last thing I want to say is very simple. immerse yourself and your family in the truth places. You need truth in a world of false things. Let me take it to 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. We need truth in a false world. We need truth in the family. Even the churches now are cuckoo on the family. They're nowhere so far from the Bible. And churches are cuckoo on finances. And churches are cuckoo on winning the world to Christ and on music and everything. Listen, we've gotten so far from this stuff. We need to immerse ourselves in a world of lack of truth. Two places you immerse yourself in to be full of truth. Number one, the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You need to read this Bible more than anybody's ever needed to read it. You need to read this every single day. You need time in the Bible. And second place is the good church. Verse 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He's telling Timothy how to behave in church. And what to do in the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I want to say the number one thing you need from a church. The church, and I don't even know if I understand why this is. I just know the Bible says it. The local church is the pillar and ground of truth. It is underneath of truth. It holds truth up. When the churches are wrong, everything will be wrong on doctrine. You need to find a doctrinally sound Bible-preaching church and be immersed in it, because it's a pillar and ground of truth. The church is a candlestick, Jesus said in Revelation 1 and 2. The church is supposed to be a light of truth. Even if it doesn't have a big crowd, it does not matter. It has the truth, and it's saying, this, thus saith the Lord, this is God's way. And it's a light, and you should be immersed in it and love it and be a part of a church that preaches truth. And I didn't say church full of nice people. I think we have nice people at our church. That's not what you're looking for. A church where you're comfortable. Church with good seats. Church with a good nursery. Church with a good building. Nice. All those things are great if you have them. But you know what a church needs to be? Truth. What does the Bible say? The Bible has doctrine, and it's right. Do not hold the truth in unrighteousness. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Let's just line up with it. And if we're wrong, say, you know what? I messed up. I was wrong about this. That's okay. We all do that if we're humble enough. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would understand. Lord, I think this is not a message preaching at us as much as it is establishing what we ought to do with the truth in the future. What is truth? The great question asked to Jesus. Jesus is truth. The great answer of a life is Jesus and the Word of God. Help us, Father, to not hold the truth in a righteousness and then begin to justify because it's what we do and it must be okay and it's not that bad and other people are doing this. Lord, help us not to begin to justify and bend the truth, please. We thank you for the Word of God that teaches us what's right. Help us to live it and follow it. And I pray tonight that if any of us is maybe not living what we know to do, we would line up with the truth. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.